I want to bring in Frank Schwab, but before we do that, I want to play a clip from Ben Roethlisberger yesterday because, you know, the Steelers players, for the most part, you know, they kept it together. They Le'Veon Bell was going to be here Tuesday. Now, Le'Veon Bell will be here Wednesday. You know, they took that approach. Yesterday, you started to see some of the frustration come out on the part of the Pittsburgh players. Derek, can you just play the Roethlisberger clip?
I think we're a very good offense. You know, football is the ultimate team sport. One person doesn't make or break you. So, you know, I'd like to say that the linemen are more important than any skill position player, including myself, on this team. So, you know, this offense is more than just one guy.
Ben, do you go back and draw on what you went through when D'Angelo filled in a couple of years ago and go back to some of the same things that worked and how you guys approached that?
Yeah, we did pretty good then, too. And, you know, James is a year better than he was last year at this time. So I think we're all kind of excited for what he can bring to this offense.
So essentially that's Ben Roethlisberger basically taking the other approach, essentially trying to say, really, don't, you know, we can move on without him. But you heard a lot of comments from Pittsburgh players yesterday about Le'Veon Bell. Frank, thank you so much for joining us. And you pointed out it is remarkable how, you know, Pittsburgh takes the approach they take and everybody goes their smart business. The player takes the approach he takes and everybody goes, why are you doing that? It's remarkable, isn't it?
It's amazing to me. You know, I mean, I get it. Fans are fans. They're going to, you know, they're going to be fans of the team longer than Le'Veon Bell's going to be a player with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But this is just from somebody who looks at the NFL, you know, objectively. It's just business from both sides. The Steelers did what they had to do. And I never minded what they did. I mean, I get it. They basically said, why pay Le'Veon Bell this long-term deal he wants? We can use him year to year, kind of use him up, give him 431 touches like they did last year, and then he's going to be 28 and hitting free agency.
Yep.
That sounds perfect for us. We're not in a long-term commitment. We're not putting a ring on it, you know? All right, that made sense. But we can't then criticize Le'Veon Bell for doing what's best in his business interest. If, you know, I mean, I had fans coming out of the woodwork talking about, oh, Le'Veon Bell, look at his past, he got suspended. This has nothing to do with that. The Steelers just know that the running back position is a nebulous one. You kind of don't want to have a guy beyond, you know, his expiration date. So they didn't want to give a long-term deal. But I can't sit here and then complain that Le'Veon Bell's protecting himself and saying, you know what? No, I'm not going to be there week one to take those. Get James Conner those carries. Yeah, have those mileage put on his legs. Mm-hmm. I'll see you when I see you. I just got to see it from both sides. And you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't see this coming. They're the only ones. Maybe the most amazing part of this, aside from the Steelers teammates kind of ripping Bell, which I thought was weird, is the Steelers act like they just had no idea this was coming. Well, you know, Le'Veon Bell he made it easy on you last year. He came in Friday before the season, like 10 days before the season, and he was ready to go. This year he didn't make it easy on you. Yeah, that's life, you know, dealing with a holdout player.
And I was going to say, I mean, they've already said they're not going to rescind the franchise tag for him. So, I mean, where does this go?
No, you know what? If Le'Veon Bell, if they rescinded the franchise tag, the San Francisco 49ers would give him a $50 million signing bonus within 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they have $40 million in cap room. So, yeah, if the Steelers are so bent out of shape about, you know, whoa, Le'Veon Bell's not showing up, we're so angry about this, all right, then rescind the franchise tag. I bet you'd have teams, the Washington Redskins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and whoever else could cobble together in a cap room would be, you know, literally calling Le'Veon Bell the moment they heard that news. So let's quit the public posturing here. The Steelers, they could be mad all they want, but all right, you're not rescinding a franchise tag. How mad are you? As far as where this goes, to be honest, I have no idea. I don't think that any of us know Le'Veon Bell could show up Saturday at 3:30 and sign his tender. He could show up on Halloween. I really have no idea where this is going. We all assumed Le'Veon was going to play week one the whole time. Well, we were wrong about that. Le'Veon's given no indication if this is a long-term thing, if this is kind of just a one-week thing. I honestly have no idea how this is going to turn out. And the only option I don't see happening is they're not going to rescind the franchise tag because everybody knows that, you know, they wouldn't be dumb enough to do that.
So Can the Steelers manage? I mean, brave words from Ben Roethlisberger. Can they manage without Le'Veon Bell? And how? Yeah, at what point? I was going to ask you, at what point does it become a crisis for this team? When do they need him back?
I don't think it. And honestly, I don't think it ever would. I look at that division and I say they're still the favorite. They're still the best team. I think James Conner is a perfectly capable back. They have great receivers. Ben's still there. Let's say the maximum happens and Le'Veon sits out 10 games. I don't think that's going to happen, but it might. It's totally possible. So he sits out 10 games. The Steelers go, worst case, it's still probably 5-5. And then you go and you get Le'Veon back. You go 4-2, you win the divisions at 9-7. And then you go into the playoffs with Le'Veon Bell, who's only had, you know, 6/16 of a season under his, wear and tear on his legs, and he's kind of fresh for the playoffs. I don't think it's ever going to reach a point where it's just terrible for the Steelers. I don't think so anyway. I think they're good enough to still win the AFC North without him. So I think that, you know, and in some ways, in some weird, really weird roundabout way, it might be a blessing in disguise for them to save Le'Veon a little bit instead of using him up and having him be kind of beat down for the playoffs. Maybe this way, you know, not intentionally, but they get a fresh Le'Veon Bell in January, which is their ultimate goal, isn't it?
Yeah, you would think that would be the you want him around when you need to win the games, quite frankly. But again, it does, as I pointed out in my little preamble there, having covered other sports, it's always surprised me that people always pay lip service to the whole it's a business thing until it affects somebody else, in which case they expect right. them to make the concession. The story I found interesting was this report from the LA Rams, from their general manager, the president, that they, in fact, were players for Khalil Mack. Now, I'm sitting here trying to figure out how they would make that work under the cap. I mean, they're already paying a lot of players a lot of money. But, you know, I think more than anything else, I'm sitting there saying, I'm not a big fan of general managers coming out and saying, you know what, yeah, we tried to do this, it didn't work out. Because a lot of times, quite frankly, you can be blowing smoke. But in this case, I think it's kind of genius, because essentially the Rams are sending a message to the NFL here, aren't they? By doing this. They're sending a big message that, hey, you know what? I mean, we're still open for business. We've done a lot of business, but we're serious here and we're still open for business.
Absolutely. I think that that's part of it. And I also think that there's a message that they're sending to their players and fans saying, this is a Super Bowl season. This is not, we're not messing around here this year. This is not, we're going to be happy to win the West and whatever happens. No, they've been putting their foot on the pedal the whole off season. And I respect it. I think that they look at it, you know, everybody kind of talks about, and I wonder too, what are you going to do with all these salaries, all this cap stuff, blah, blah, blah. I think the Rams have just decided that they know the most valuable thing you can have in sports today is having a good quarterback on his rookie contract. Mm-hmm. There's no other comparison in basketball, baseball, anything else. Having a good quarterback on his rookie deal allows you so many more avenues to team construction. And I think that they just looked at that as a team and said, we got Jared Goff under team control for 2 or 3 more years, depending on when we're going to have to extend him. And let's just do it. And we'll figure it out later when we'll figure out the future when we have to, and that's fine. But we have a window like the Seahawks had with Russell Wilson, but, you know, like even like the Eagles had with Carson Wentz, they made a lot of moves last year. I think that they looked at this window and said, we'll worry about tomorrow. We're going to go for it today. I totally respect that. And I think that they're keeping that mentality. And like you said, I think the Rams sent out the message to the rest of the NFL. Hey, we're players here. If you want to deal somebody, if you're 0-4 at the end of September, come call us. And I think it's a message to their fans that, hey, we're trying to build something here. We're legit. And it's a message to the players that, you know, guys, there's only one goal this year. We're not in this thing for, you know, just to repeat what we did last year. We want to take the next step. So I think it really was a smart move by him.
You know, as we get set for tonight's game, you look around the NFL, and I know I'm on the Yahoo sort. You guys, Yahoo site, you guys have done a job breaking down coaches who are in the hot seat. And, you know, surprise, surprise, Marvin Lewis, the 14th season in a row seems to be on that seat. Who do you think, though, who's under the most pressure out of the gate? Is it Hugh Jackson? I mean, I'm looking at Vance Joseph. I'm looking at Denver, and that would be the situation I'd be watching right now.
I think that's yes. I'm based out of Denver. Trust me, that there are fans here who are out on Vance Joseph. He needs to win right away. I think that if we're talking about pressure on saving your job, yeah, Vance Joseph's up there. I think Hugh has to be number one because he's won third one. Like, I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. Like, we all know. But I'll give you a guy who is, I think, is under the most pressure right now. And it's a weird thing to say, but I think it's John Gruden. Okay. I think it's John Gruden right now. That when you look at the coaches and where they've kind of positioned themselves, and John Gruden signed a 10-year, $100 million deal. He came in and had one of the weirdest off seasons we've seen in a really, really long time. I think Seattle had a worse off season, but Oakland had this off season where they just tore down the roster. I think they have 26 or 28 new players. It's crazy how much they turned over the roster. They now have the oldest roster in the NFL. They just traded their best player by far to Chicago Bears. And before John Gruden even coaches a game, he's got the biggest deal in sports history for a coach. I believe it's still sports history for a coach. And he hasn't even coached a game yet, and he's under this intense, like, spotlight. What are we going to be talking about Monday night, that second Monday night game of the doubleheader? It's going to be, wow, look at all these moves John Gruden made, Khalil Mack. We all can vision this in our head, what the broadcast is going to be like. He's kind of put himself in this crazy microscope already. He hasn't even coached a game. We got 10 years left with this guy. Yeah. So I honestly think that he's under the most pressure right now, and he's done it to himself. Now, he's not going to lose his job. Like, that, he's not under that kind of pressure. But I think he's under the more the scrutiny pressure. I think that right now, of all 32 NFL coaches, we're looking at him the most and saying, what the heck is going on in Oakland?
You know, we talked about players who, in the case of Le'Veon Bell, still holding out. Earl Thomas, the exact opposite, he's reported. That's disappointed some teams, hasn't it? To be honest, Earl Thomas reported. Yeah, you could hear the Cowboys, you could hear the glasses breaking in the Cowboys camp when that happened. There were teams really holding out hope for this guy, weren't there?
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, we talked a lot about Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, and even Le'Veon Bell. And they're all Hall of Fame level talent. I think Earl Thomas is too. He's been one of the best players I've seen in, you know, the past 5-10 years. He's just so good for what the Seahawks do. The Seahawks played the type of defense that they've played in this run because of Earl Thomas, because they can be so aggressive up front because they know, hey, if somebody gets by us, if we make a mistake, Earl's going to erase it. He's back there. He's fine. And he does. He's amazing. He's a great, great player. I'm disappointed with the Seahawks for not paying him. I think that of all the guys on that team, besides maybe Russell Wilson, you look at who has kind of embodied this run, who has embodied this attitude, this championship, kind of, you know, building this championship culture that they have. It's Earl Thomas. If you're not going to pay that guy, who are you going to pay? I get that he was under contract, but I would have liked to see them reward one of their best players there. But he comes back. He's angry. He's in the last year of his deal. I don't like the Seahawks this year. There's a lot of bad vibes out of there, and they just made some weird moves in the offseason, including weird coordinator hires and drafting a running back in the first round and had other needs, stuff like that. So I look at it and I say, you know, I'm glad Earl's playing. I really like Earl Thomas as a player. It was disappointing that Seattle didn't do better by him, is what I'm saying.
I love his quote: "The disrespect has been well noted and will not be forgotten." So I would say he's not coming back in a particularly happy frame of mind. Want to shift focus a little bit to tonight's game. You see the Eagles, you see the Falcons. Nick Foles is going to start. He's had kind of a meh training camp, although I don't know what you necessarily read into that. How do you think the Eagles are positioned this year?
I don't know. When we talk about, I believe in the Super Bowl hangover. I think it's just a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You have less of an offseason than everybody else. You played more games. Whereas some team that didn't make the Green Bay Packers, let's say, they were resting on January 1st. The Philadelphia Eagles are still playing a month later. That matters. And I just think that there's the mentality. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles, of all teams, had one of those off seasons that, you know, they just everywhere they went, every member of the Philadelphia Eagles, everywhere they went this offseason, somebody probably stopped them and said, you have no idea what this means to me and my family. My grandfather was an Eagles fan. My father was. We would sit around. Thank you so much. This was life changing. Like, this wasn't just the Patriots winning our sixth Super Bowl or whatever it is. This is a life changing moment for the fans, for the city, and all offseason the players. They heard this. And what was the Eagles' mantra last year? It was wearing the dog masks. It was nobody believes in us. It was we're underdogs in every single game. And it's not like that anymore. It's just they're now hunted. Now they're dealing with a quarterback issue. You know, I mean, Wentz isn't ready. Foles looked bad in the preseason. I don't know. I just think that they're going to take a step back. And look, they're very, very talented. They have a great defense. They got a lot of players out on offense, a lot of playmakers, great offensive line. But I just feel like the Super Bowl hangover is real, and I think it's going to hit Philly really hard. Because, again, who had a more pat you on the back offseason than the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles? They're going to have statues built for them all across the city. And now they got to come back and try to refocus. That's tough. It's going to be really, really tough for them to do that.
How do you think the changeover in the position of offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach is going to affect this team? I mean, Frank Reich and John DeFilippo seem to be, you know, they had a good relationship. They were obviously clearly integral to the success of the team and the success of Carson Wentz. How do you see that affecting this team?
No doubt. I mean, we can't sit here and congratulate the Colts for hiring Frank Reich and call him a genius. We can't sit here and say, wow, the Vikings made a great hire with John DeFilippo and not acknowledge it hurts the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I mean, it's not a zero-sum game. Like, you have to – they did lose something there for sure. I mean, that coaching staff, the Super Bowl is on again on NFL Network this week. I rewatched it about the second, third time I've seen it. And – it just struck me how well coached they were in that game. Every time the Patriots did A, they did B. I mean, they were pushing every single right button. And that's not just Doug Peterson. That's his full staff. That's right. That's DeFilippo. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely merit to that. Not that the new coaching staff or the guys got promoted aren't capable and they're not going to do a good job. But when you have that kind of talent leave the coaching staff, leave that building, it's tough to replace it, and it's going to be another transition the Eagles have to deal with this year.